drought conditions persist across the country, from the Mid-Atlantic and carving a path south and west into Texas, across the plains and through much of the Rocky Mountains. Precipitation has hit record lows. On Capitol Hill, senators from western states are pressing for billions in disaster relief. And ranchers are facing yet another dry year. NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports from north-central Montana, where blowing topsoil is a grim reminder of the Dust Bowl days of the 1930s.
It's 2 in the afternoon, but the cars and trucks on Highway 87 have their headlights on to cut through the dust. Above, a heavy haze that looks like rain hangs in the air like a promise. This is Choteau County, the heart of Montana wheat country, dubbed the Golden Triangle. But the only crop on the horizon is stubble, bleached by the sun, left untilled with the hope that it'll hold down the topsoil. Just off the highway on Pleasant Valley Road, the view is anything but pleasant. White salt trails mark where ponds, creeks, and stock water once shimmered. The landscape is vacant. Endless rows of parched brown dirt left to the grasshoppers in the wind. Even worse is what lies below it, more of the same. Dryland wheat farming depends entirely on rain. Irrigation here is too expensive. After 4 dry years, nearly 1,000 farmers have given up trying to get wheat out of dirt that's received less moisture than most deserts. Ken Evans is a third-generation farmer. Crop years are easier for him to recall than birthdays.
85 was real dry. We lost most of our crop. We had cut some. And 86 was a little better, 87 a little better, 88 wiped us out again. And then we had...
Evans' grandfather homesteaded here in Fort Benton in 1910. His son was forced off the land during the Dust Bowl of the 30s, but bought it back and passed it on. Now Evans tells his son to think about doing something else.
We've owned it for 56 years, and 2001 was the first year we never put a combine in a field. We never harvested 1 acre. That's the first time in 56 years. So that's, you know, it's all hard to deal with.
Faced with another year of the same, Evans ran for county commissioner and now sits in the courthouse surrounded by weather forecasts and crop reports, which he says are easier on the eye than his own fields.
Makes me sick. I hate to go look.
Evans now presides over a town on the verge of drying up as well. This town relies on agriculture, and idle farm machinery leads to vacant storefronts. The last of 5 implement dealers closed up a year ago. At the last of 4 car dealerships, Cecilia Dostal sits behind a desk without much to do. She says nobody's buying new or used.
You know, and it's just every penny counts. And so, you know, you find days when you're just, we don't have a whole lot going on.
Dostal took a job in town and left the family farm behind, but not the strain of bad times.
There was a copy of a editorial that had been in the Washington Post, and it was somebody complaining about the farm bill, mm-hmm. about giving money to the farmers. And, you know, because they said, well, every business is a risk, you know, every business. And I just want to tell people so bad that, you know, you have no idea what it's like to live your business. You do it from sun up to sundown. And so it's a little frustrating because I think a lot of people, too, don't understand.
There are signs of stress in this tiny town. The sheriff reports 3 calls a week of spousal abuse and a dozen people on suicide watch. Jess Aber, the director of Montana's Drought Task Force, says Fort Benton is just one of dozens of communities hit hard.
There's a notable increase in some domestic problems and gambling and alcoholism. As folks feel completely helpless about the fact that there's really nothing they can do about the climate. And it's a serious issue, and it's part of the big picture, another impact that's just as real as having a poor crop.
As the head of the task force, Aber, in charge of the big picture, is asked all the time just how bad it really is. His answer, it really is.
The Weather Service tells us that North Central Montana's never had 4 years in a row at this level, even in the 30s.
More than 3 million people left their homes in the 30s as millions of acres of topsoil blew out of the western plains. But while this drought may be just as dire, it's not as debilitating because of lessons learned. For years, the government has paid farmers here not to till as part of the Conservation Reserve Program. But there are other concerns. Drinking water supplies have dried up, fisheries are in peril, and forage for wildlife is threatened. The Front Range of the Rocky Mountains begins about 60 miles to the west of Fort Benton. Runoff from the snowpack has provided more moisture here, but not enough. Freezeout Lake, a temporary home to nearly 200 species of birds, is at a record low for the third year. All six water wells in the nearby community of Fairfield have run dry, and the town is relying on irrigation water, the same water that normally recharges the wildlife refuge. Mark Schlepp has managed wildlife for the state for 14 years.
We're right at the period where it's got to happen, or else, you know, the year will be a big loss again. And, you know, you don't know what the country can handle.
Dusty Crary, a rancher here, isn't sure either, but he says there's nobody to blame.
It's not somebody's fault. We're not a victim, and I think there sometimes it gets portrayed, you know, that I'm a victim. Boy, you know, this is really a bummer, and that's the nature of the business.
Crary's 3,000-acre cow-calf operation relies on irrigated water from the nearby Teton River. A network of ditches like this one divert what comes off the mountains. But even with water rights, Crary's worried about the years to come.
I mean, a lot of springs have gone dry and wells have gone dry that, you know, 80-year-old people never seen go dry, you know. So it's going to take a lot just to refill the water tables and maybe we'll get it.
But maybe not, Crary says, rubbing the sunburned line on his forehead left by his hat brim. And maybe, he adds, it's not all for the worst. Crary believes the drought has spurred some new thinking on the part of farmers and ranchers. For example, more efficient rotation patterns for crops and livestock.
I think you're going to see more and more people realizing that we got to work together a little more. And you couldn't, if it was all lush and green and plenty of rain, and, you know, nobody's going to go to a drought meeting, you know. I mean, you got to be down and out and singing the blues, you know, before you get anybody. So if that's what it takes, then that's, now if it goes for 10 years and everything's hunky-dory, well, everybody will probably forget about it again and be all built back up to, but these things, these processes take time, you know, and so.
The forecast is bleak. Farmers are auctioning off equipment, and ranchers are selling off cattle. But it took the devastating dry spells of the 30s to prompt the last half century of federally directed soil conservation, and without it, everyone agrees, this drought would be even worse. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Shodo, Montana. Thank you.